waiting outside the door right now. Because it was Ridley and Link, Savannah and Emily and Eden and Charlotte with the rest of their fan club and the Jackson basketball team. None of them were wearing their daily uniform, Jackson Angels t-shirts. Then I remembered why. Emily had a smudge of dirt on her cheek. The reenactment. I realized Lena and I had missed most of it already, and now we were going to fail history. By now, it was all over, except the evening campaign and the fireworks. Funny how an F would seem like a big deal on any other day.
Surprise!
Surprise didn't even begin to describe it. Once again, I had allowed chaos and danger to find its way to Ravenwood. Everyone crowded into the front hall. Grandma waved from the couch. Macon sipped his scotch, composed, as always. It was only if you knew him that you knew he was about to lose it. Actually, come to think of it, why had Larkin even let them in?
This can't be happening. The surprise party. I forgot all about it.
Emily pushed to the front of the group.
Where's the birthday girl?
She held her arms out expectantly, like she was planning to give Lena a big hug. Lena recoiled, but Emily wasn't that easily deterred. Emily looped her arm through Lena's like they were long-lost friends.
We've been planning this party all week. We've got live music, and Charlotte rented these outdoor lights so everyone can see. I mean, the grounds of Ravenwood are so dark.
Emily dropped her voice as if she were discussing selling contraband on the black market.
And we have some peach schnapps. You have to see it,
Charlotte drawled, practically gasping for breath between words because her jeans were so tight.
There's a laser machine. It's a rave at Ravenwood. How cool is that? It's just like one of those college parties over in Somerville.
A rave? Ridley must have really pulled out all the stops for this one. Emily and Savannah throwing Lena a party and fawning over her like she was their snow queen? This must have been harder than getting them all to jump off a cliff.
Now, let's go up to your room and get you ready, birthday girl.
Charlotte sounded even more like a cheerleader than she normally did, always overcompensating. Lena looked green. Her room? Half the writing on her walls was probably about them.
What are you talking about, Charlotte? She looks just gorgeous. Don't you think so, Savannah?
Emily gave Lena a little squeeze and looked at Charlotte disapprovingly, like maybe she should lay off the pie and put some effort into looking that gorgeous.
Are you kidding? I would just die for this hair,
Savannah said, winding a strand of Lena's hair around her finger.
It's so amazingly black. My hair was black last year, at least underneath,
Eden protested. Last year, Eden had dyed the underside of her hair black, leaving the top blonde, in one of her misguided attempts to distinguish herself. Savannah and Emily had teased her mercilessly until she dyed it back a whole day later.
You look like a skunk,
Savannah smiled at Lena approvingly.
She looks like an Italian.
Let's go. Everyone's waiting on you,
Emily said, grabbing Lena's arm. Lena shrugged them off.
This has to be some kind of trick.
It's a trick, all right, but I don't think it's the kind you're imagining. It probably has more to do with a siren and a lollipop.
Ridley, I should have known.
Lena looked at Aunt Dell and Uncle Macon. They were horrified, as if all the Latin in the world hadn't prepared them for this one. Grandma smiled, unfamiliar with this particular brand of angel.
What's the rush? Would you children like to stay and have a cup of tea?
Hiya, Grandma,
Ridley called from the doorway, where she was hanging back on the veranda, sucking on her red lollipop with an intensity that made me think, if she stopped, this whole thing might fall like a house of cards. She didn't have me to get her through the door this time. She was an inch away from Larkin, who looked amused but stood directly in front of her. Ridley was spilling out of a tightly laced vest that looked like a cross between lingerie and something a girl on the cover of Hot Rod magazine would wear, and a low-slung jean skirt. Ridley leaned against the doorframe.
Surprise, surprise.
Grandma put her teacup down. She picked up her knitting.
Ridley, what a pleasure to see you, dear. Your new look is very becoming, darling. I'm sure you'll have lots of gentlemen callers.
Grandma flashed Ridley an innocent smile, though her eyes weren't smiling. Ridley pouted, but continued sucking on her lollipop. I walked over to where she was standing.
How many licks does it take, Rid?
For what, short straw?
To get Savannah Snow and Emily Asher to throw a party for Lena.
More than you know, boyfriend.
She stuck out her tongue at me, and I could see it was streaked with red and purple. The sight was dizzying. Larkin sighed and looked past me.
There are maybe 100 kids out there, in the field. There's a stage and speakers, cars all along the road.
Really?
Lena looked out the window.
There's a stage in the middle of the magnolia trees.
My magnolia trees?
Macon was on his feet. I knew the whole thing was a farce, that Ridley was bringing this party to life with every suggestive lick. And Lena knew it too, but I could still see it in Lena's eyes. There was a part of her that wanted to go out there. A surprise party where everyone in school shows up. That must have been on Lena's regular high school girl list, too. She could deal with being a caster. She was just tired of being an outcast. Larkin looked at Macon.
You're never gonna get them to leave. Let's get this over with. I'll stay with her the whole time, me or Ethan.
Link pushed his way to the front of the crowd.
Dude, let's go. My band, the Holy Rollers, it's our Jackson High debut. It's gonna be awesome.
Link was happier than I'd ever seen him before. I looked over at Ridley suspiciously. She shrugged, chewing on her lolly.
We're not going anywhere. Not tonight.
I couldn't believe Link was here. His mother would have a heart attack if she ever found out. Larkin looked at Macon, who was irritated, and Aunt Dell, who was panicked. This was the last night either one of them wanted to let Lena out of their sight.
No.
Macon didn't even consider it. Larkin tried again.
5 minutes. Absolutely not. When's the next time a bunch of people from her school are going to throw her a party?
Macon didn't miss a beat.
Hopefully, never.
Lena's face fell. I was right. She wanted to be part of all this, even if it wasn't real. It was like the dance or the basketball game. It was the reason she bothered to go to school in the first place, no matter how horribly they treated her. It was why she showed up, day after day, even if she ate on the bleachers and sat on the good eye side. She was 16, caster or not. For one night, that was all she wanted to be. There was only one other person as stubborn as Macon Ravenwood. If I knew Lena, her uncle didn't stand a chance. Not tonight. She walked over to Macon and looped her arm through his.
I know this sounds crazy, Uncle M, but can I go to the party just for a little while, just to hear Link's band?
I watched for her hair to curl, the telltale caster breeze. It didn't move. This wasn't caster magic she was working. It was another kind altogether. She couldn't charm her way out from under Macon's watch. She would have to resort to older magic, stronger magic. The kind that had worked best on Macon from the time she first moved to Ravenwood. Plain old love.
Why would you want to go anywhere with these people after everything they've put you through?
I could hear him softening as he spoke. Nothing's changed. I don't want anything to do with those girls, but I still want to go.
You're not making sense.
Macon was frustrated.
I know, and I know it's stupid, but I just want to know what it feels like to be normal.
I want to go to a dance without practically destroying it. I want to go to a party I'm actually invited to. I mean, I know it's all Ridley, but is it wrong if I don't care? She looked up at him, biting on her lip.
I can't allow it, even if I wanted to. It's too dangerous.
They locked eyes. Ethan and I never even got to dance, Uncle M. You said it yourself. For a second, it seemed like Macon might relent, but only for a second.
Here's what I didn't say. Get used to it. I never got to spend a day in any school, or even walk through town on a Sunday afternoon. We all have disappointments.
Lena played her last card. But it's my birthday. Anything could happen. This might be my last chance. The rest of the sentence lingered in the air. To dance with my boyfriend, to be myself, to be happy. She didn't have to say it. We all knew.
Lena, I understand how you feel, but it's my responsibility to keep you safe, especially tonight. You have to remain here with me. The mortals will only put you in harm's way or bring you pain. You can't be normal. You weren't meant to be normal.
Macon had never spoken to Lena like this. I wasn't sure if he was talking about the party or me. Lena's eyes shone, but she didn't cry. Why not? What's so wrong with wanting what they have? Did you ever stop to think they might have gotten something right?
What if they have? What does it matter? You're a natural. One day, you will go somewhere Ethan can never follow. And every minute you spend together now will only be a burden you will have to carry for the rest of your life.
He's not a burden.
Oh, yes, he is. He makes you weak, which makes him dangerous.
He makes me strong, which is only dangerous to you. I stepped between them.
Mr. Ravenwood, come on. Don't do this tonight.
But Macon had already done it. Lena was furious. And what would you know about that? You've never been burdened with a relationship in your life, not even a friend. You don't understand anything. How could you? You sleep in your room all day and mope around in your library all night. You hate everyone, and you think you're better than everyone. If you've never really loved anyone, how could you possibly know how it feels to be me? She turned her back on Macon, on all of us, and ran up the staircase with Boo trailing after her. Her bedroom door slammed, the sound echoing back down into the hall. Boo lay down in front of Lena's door. Macon stared after her, even though she was gone. Slowly, he turned to me.
I couldn't allow it. I'm sure you understand.
I knew this was possibly the most dangerous night of Lena's life, but I also knew it might be her last chance to be the girl we all loved. So I did understand. I just didn't want to be in the same room with him right now. Link edged his way to the front of the crowd of kids still standing in the hall.
So, is there gonna be a party or not?
Larkin grabbed his coat.
It's already a party. Let's get out there. We'll celebrate for Lena.
Emily pushed her way next to Larkin, and everyone else trailed after them. Ridley was still standing in the doorway. She looked at me and shrugged.
I tried.
Link was waiting for me by the door.
Ethan, come on, man. Let's go.
I looked up the staircase.
Lena?
I'm gonna stay here.
Grandma put down her knitting.
I don't think that she'll be coming down any time soon, Ethan. Why don't you go with your friends and check in on her in a few minutes?
But I didn't want to leave. This might be the last night we spent together, Even if we were spending it in Lena's room, I still wanted to be with her.
At least come out and hear my new song, man. Then you can come back and wait for her to come down.
Link had his drumsticks in his hand.
I think that would be best.
Macon poured himself another scotch.
You can come back in a little while, but we have some things we need to discuss in the meantime.
It was decided. He was kicking me out.
One song, then I'm going to wait out front.
I looked at Macon.
For a little while.
The field behind Ravenwood was crammed with people. There was a makeshift stage at one end with portable lights, the same kind they used for the night portion of the Battle of Honey Hill. There was music blasting from the speakers, but it was hard to hear over the cannon fire in the distance. I followed Link to the stage, where the Holy Rollers were setting up. There were three of them, and they looked about 30. The guy adjusting his guitar amp had tattoos covering both arms and what looked like a bike chain around his neck. The bass player had spiky black hair that matched the black makeup around his eyes. The third guy had so many piercings it hurt just looking at him. Ridley hopped up, sat on the edge of the stage, and waved at Link.
Wait till you hear us. We rock. I just wish Lena was here.
Well, I wouldn't want to disappoint. Lena walked up behind us and wrapped her arms around my waist. Her eyes were red and teary, but in the dark, she looked just like everyone else.
What happened? Did your uncle change his mind?
Not exactly, but what he doesn't know won't hurt him, and I don't care if it does. He's being so awful tonight. I didn't say anything. I would never understand the relationship between Lena and Macon any more than she could understand the relationship between Amma and me. But I knew she was going to feel terrible when this was all over. She couldn't stand to hear anyone say anything bad about her uncle, not even me. For her to be the one saying it made it that much worse.
Did you sneak out?
Yeah, Larkin helped me. Larkin walked toward us, carrying a plastic cup. You only turn 16 once, right?
This isn't a good idea, El.
I just want one dance. Then we'll go back. Link headed for the stage.
I wrote you a song for your birthday, Lena. You're gonna love it.
What's it called? I asked suspiciously.
16 Moons. Remember? That weird song you could never find on your iPod? It just popped into my head last week, all in one piece. Well, Rid helped a little.
He grinned.
I guess you could say, I had a muse.
I was speechless, but Lena grabbed my hand and Link grabbed the microphone and there was no stopping him. He adjusted the microphone stand so that the mic was in front of his mouth. Well, to be honest, it was more like inside his mouth, and it was sort of gross. Link had watched a lot of MTV over at Earl's. You had to hand it to him, since he was about to get rolled off the stage, holy or not. He was pretty brave, all things considered. He closed his eyes, sitting behind the drums, sticks poised in the air.
1, 2, 3!
The lead guitarist, the surly-looking guy wearing the bike chain, hit one note on his guitar. It sounded awful, and the amps began to whine on either side of the stage. I winced. This was not going to be pretty. And then he hit another note, and another.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any either around.
Link raised an eyebrow and a ripple of laughter moved through the crowd.
I'd like to say happy birthday, Lena. And now, put your hands together for the world premiere of my new band, the Holy Rollers.
Link winked at Ridley. The guy thought he was Mick Jagger. I felt bad for him and grabbed Lena's hand. It felt like I had plunged my hand into the lake in the winter when the top of the water was warm from the sun and an inch below that was pure ice. I shivered, but I wouldn't let go.
I hope you're ready for this. He's going to go down in flames. We'll be back in your room in 5 minutes. Promise.
She stared up at him thoughtfully.
I'm not so sure about that. Ridley sat at the edge of the stage, smiling and waving like a groupie. Her hair was twisting in the breeze, pink and blonde strands beginning to loop around her shoulders. Then I heard the familiar melody, and 16 Moons was blasting out of the amps. Only this time, it wasn't like one of the songs from Link's demo tapes. They were good, really good. And the crowd went wild, like Jackson High was finally getting to have a dance after all. Only we were in a meadow in the middle of Ravenwood, the most infamous and feared plantation in Gatlin County. The energy was amazing, surging like a rave. Everyone was dancing and half the people were singing, which was crazy since nobody had ever even heard the song before. Even Lena had to crack a smile, and we began to sway with the crowd because you really just couldn't help it. They're playing our song. She found my hand. I was just thinking that. I know. She laced her fingers through mine, sending shivers through my body. And they're pretty good, she said, shouting over the crowd. Good? They're great, as in the greatest day of Link's life. I mean, it was crazy, the whole thing. The Holy Rollers, Link, the party, Ridley bobbing on the edge of the stage, sucking on her Ridley pop. Not the craziest thing I'd seen today, but still. So later, when Lena and I were dancing and 5 minutes came and went, and then 25, and then 55, neither one of us even noticed or cared. We were stopping time. At least, that's how it felt. We had one dance, but we had to make it last as long as we could, in case it was all we had. Larkin was in no hurry. He was all tangled up with Emily, making out by the side of one of the bonfires someone had made out of old garbage cans. Emily was wearing Larkin's jacket, and every now and then he'd pull down the shoulder and lick her neck or something gross. He really was a snake. Larkin, she's like 16! Lena called over toward the fire from where we were dancing. Larkin stuck out his tongue, which rolled further down toward the ground than any mortals could have. Emily didn't seem to notice. She untangled herself from Larkin, motioning to Savannah, who was dancing in a group with Charlotte and Eden behind her. Come on, girls, let's give Lena her present. Savannah reached into her little silver bag and pulled out the little silver package that was sticking out of it, wrapped with silver ribbon. It's just a little something. Savannah held it out. Every girl should have one. Emily was slurring. Metallic goes with everything. Eden could barely stop herself from ripping off the paper herself. Just big enough for, like, your phone and your lip gloss. Charlotte pushed it toward Lena. Go on, open it. Lena took the package in her hands and smiled at them. Savannah, Emily, Eden, Charlotte, you have absolutely no idea what this means to me. The sarcasm was lost on them. I knew exactly what it was and exactly what it meant to her. Stupid to the power of stupid. Lena couldn't look me in the eye, or we both would have burst out laughing. As we made our way back into the crowd of dancers, Lena tossed the little silver package into the bonfire. The orange and yellow flames ate their way through the wrapping until the tiny metallic purse was nothing but smoke and ash. The Holy Rollers took a break, and Link came over to bask in the glory of his musical debut.
I told you we were good, just one step away from a contract.
Link elbowed me in the ribs like old times.
You were right, man. You guys were great.
I had to give him that, even if he did have the lollipop on his side. Savannah Snow sauntered up, most likely to burst Link's bubble.
Hey, Link.
She batted her eyes suggestively.
Hey, Savannah.
Do you think you could save me a dance?
It was unbelievable. She was standing there, staring at him like he was a real rock star.
I just don't know what I'll do if I don't get one. She gave him another Snow Queen smile. I felt like I was trapped in one of Link's dreams, or Ridley's. Speak of the devil.
Hands off, prom queen. This is my hot rod.
Ridley draped her arm and a few other key parts around Link to make her point.
Sorry, Savannah. Maybe next time.
Link stuck his drumsticks in his back pocket and headed back onto the dance floor with Ridley and her R-rated dance moves. It must have been the greatest moment of his life. You would have thought it was his birthday. After the song ended, he hopped back onto the stage.
We got one last song, written by a good friend of mine, for some very special people at Jackson High. You'll know who you are.
The stage went dark. Link unzipped his hoodie, and the lights went up with the twang of the guitar. He was wearing a Jackson Angels t-shirt with the sleeves ripped off, looking as ridiculous on Link as he intended it to. If only his mother could see him now. He leaned into the microphone and began to do a little casting of his own. Lena's song, the one she wrote for Link. As the music swelled, every card-carrying angel swayed to the anthem targeted at them. Maybe it was all Ridley, and maybe it wasn't. The thing is, by the time the song was over and Link had tossed his winged t-shirt into the bonfire, it felt like a few more things were going up in flames along with it. Everything that had seemed so hard, so insurmountable for so long, just sort of went up in smoke. Long after the Holy Rollers had stopped playing, even when Ridley and Link were nowhere to be found, Savannah and Emily were still being nice to Lena, and the whole basketball team was suddenly speaking to me again. I looked for some small sign, a lollipop, anywhere. The lone telltale thread that could come loose to unravel the whole sweater. But there was nothing. Just the moon, the stars, the music, the lights, and the crowd. Lena and I weren't even dancing anymore, but were still clinging to each other. We swayed back and forth, the current of heat and cold and electricity and fear pulsing through my veins. As long as there was any music at all, we were in our own little bubble. We weren't alone in our cave under her covers anymore, but it was still perfect. Lena pulled back gently, the way she did when something was on her mind, and stared up at me, like she was looking at me for the first time.
What's wrong?
Nothing, I... She bit her lower lip nervously and took a deep breath. It's just... There's something I want to tell you. I tried to read her thoughts, her face, anything, because I was starting to feel like it was the week before Christmas break all over again, and we were standing in the hall at Jackson instead of in the field at Greenbrier. My arms were still around her waist, and I had to resist the urge to hold her tighter, to make sure she didn't get away.
What is it? You can tell me anything.
She put her hands on my chest. In case something happens tonight, I wanted you to know. She looked into my eyes, and I heard it as clearly as if she had whispered it in my ear, except it meant more than it ever could have if she had spoken the words aloud. She said them in the only way that had ever mattered between us, the way we had found each other from the beginning, the way we always found our way back.
I love you, Ethan.
For a second, I didn't know what to say, because I love you didn't seem like enough. It didn't say everything I wanted to say, that she had saved me from this town, from my life, my dad, from myself. How can three words say all that? They can't. But I said them anyway, because I meant them.
I love you too, Elle. I think I always have.
She settled back into me, resting her head on my shoulder, and I felt her hair warm against my chin. And I felt something else. That part of her I thought I would never be able to reach, the part she kept closed off to the world, I felt it open up, just long enough to let me in. She was giving me a piece of herself, the only piece that was really hers. I wanted to remember this feeling, this moment, like a snapshot I could go back to whenever I wanted.
I wanted it to stay this way, forever.
Which, it turns out, was exactly 5 more minutes. February 11th. Lollipop Girl. Lena and I were still swaying to the music when Link elbowed his way through the crowd.
Hey, man, I've been looking for you everywhere.
Link bent over and put his hands on his knees for a second, trying to catch his breath.
Where's the fire?
Link looked worried, which was unusual for a guy who spent most of his time trying to figure out how to hook up and hide from his mom at the same time.
It's your dad. He's up on the balcony of the fallen soldiers in his pajamas.
According to the South Carolina Visitor's Guide, the Fallen Soldiers was a Civil War museum. But really, it was just Galen Evans's old house, which was full of his Civil War memorabilia. Galen left his house and his collection to his daughter, Vera, who was so desperate to become a member of the DAR, she let Mrs. Lincoln and her cronies restore the house and turn it into Gatlin's one and only museum.
Great.
Embarrassing me in our house wasn't enough. Now my dad had decided to venture out. Link looked confused. He probably expected me to be surprised that my dad was wandering around in his pajamas. He had no idea this was an everyday occurrence. I realized how little Link actually knew about my life these days, considering he was my best friend. My only friend?
Ethan, he's out on the balcony like he's gonna jump.
I couldn't move. I heard what he was saying, but I couldn't react. Lately, I was ashamed of my dad, but I still loved him, crazy or not, and I couldn't lose him. He was the only parent I had left.
Ethan, are you okay?
I looked at Lena, at those big green eyes full of concern. Tonight, I could lose her, too. I could lose them both.
Ethan, did you hear me?
Ethan, you have to go. It's going to be okay.
Come on, man!
Link was pulling me. The rock star was gone. Now he was just my best friend, trying to save me from myself. But I couldn't leave Lena.
I'm not going to leave you here. Not by yourself.
Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed Larkin coming toward us. He had untangled himself from Emily for a minute.
Larkin!
Yeah, what's up?
He seemed to sense something was going on, and actually looked concerned for a guy whose general expression was disinterest.
I need you to take Lena back to the house.
Why?
Just promise you'll take her back to the house. Ethan, I'll be fine. Just go.
Lena was pushing me toward Link. She looked as scared as I felt, but I didn't move.
Yeah, man, I'll take her back right now.
Link gave me a final jerk, and we were tearing through the crowd, because we both knew I might be a few minutes away from being a guy with 2 dead parents. We ran through the overgrown fields of Ravenwood, toward the road and the fallen soldiers. The air was already thick with smoke from the mortar, compliments of the Battle of Honey Hill, and every few seconds you could hear a round of rifle fire. The evening campaign was in full force. We were getting close to the edge of Ravenwood Plantation, where Ravenwood ended and Greenbrier began. I could see the yellow ropes that marked the safe zone glowing in the darkness. What if we were too late? The Fallen Soldiers was dark. Link and I took the steps 2 at a time, trying to get up the 4 flights as quickly as possible. When we got to the 3rd landing, instinctively, I stopped. Link sensed it, the same way he sensed when I was going to pass him the ball when I was trying to run out the clock and stopped alongside me.
He's up here.
But I couldn't move. Link read my face. He knew what I was afraid of. He had stood next to me at my mom's funeral, passing out all those white carnations for folks to put on her coffin, while my dad and I stared at the grave like we were dead too.
What if he's already jumped?
No way! I left Rid with him! She'd never let that happen!
The floor felt like it dropped out from under me. If she used her power on you and she told you to jump off a cliff, you'd jump. I pushed past Link, up the stairs, and scanned the hallway. All the doors were shut except one. Moonlight spilled onto the perfectly stained pine floorboards.
He's in there,
Link said, but I already knew that. When I entered the room, it was like going back in time. The DAR had really done their job in here. There was a huge stone fireplace at one end with a long wooden mantel, lined with tapered wax candles dripping as they burned. The eyes of fallen Confederates stared back from the sepia portraits hanging on the wall, and across from the fireplace was an antique four-poster bed. But something was out of place, disrupting the authenticity. It was a smell, musky and sweet. Too sweet. A mix of danger and innocence, even though Ridley was anything but innocent. Ridley was standing next to the open balcony doors, her blonde hair twisting in the wind. The doors were thrown open, and the dusty, billowy drapes were blowing into the room like they had been forced inside by a rush of air, like he had already jumped.
I found him,
Link called to Ridley, catching his breath again.
I can see that. How's it going, Short Straw?
Ridley smiled her sickly, sweet smile. It made me want to simultaneously smile back and throw up. I walked over to the doors slowly, afraid he might not be out there. But he was, standing on the narrow ledge on the wrong side of the railing in his flannel pajamas and bare feet.
Dad, don't move!
Ducks. There were mallard ducks on his pajamas, which seemed out of place considering he might be about to jump off of a building.
Don't come any closer, Ethan, or I'll jump.
He sounded lucid, determined, and clearer than he had in months. He almost sounded like my dad again. That's how I knew it wasn't really him talking, at least, not on his own. This was all Ridley, the power of persuasion in overdrive.
Dad, you don't want to do that. Let me help you.
I took a few steps toward him.
Stop right there!
He shouted, holding his hand out in front of him to make his point.
You don't want his help, do you, Mitchell? You just want some peace. You just want to see Lila again.
Ridley was leaning against the wall, her lollipop poised and ready.
Don't you say my mother's name, witch!
Rid, what are you doing?
Link was standing in the doorway.
Stay out of this, shrinky-dink. You're way out of your league here.
I stepped in front of Ridley, putting myself between her and my dad as if my body could somehow deflect her power.
Ridley, why are you doing this? He has nothing to do with Lena or me. If you want to hurt me, hurt me. Just leave my dad out of it.
She threw her head back and laughed, a sultry and wicked sound.
I could care less about hurting you, Short Straw. I'm just doing my job. It's nothing personal.
My blood ran cold. Her job.
You're doing this for Seraphine.
Come on, Short Straw. What did you expect? You saw how my uncle treats me. The whole family thing, not really an option for me right now.
Rid, what are you talking about? Who's Seraphine?
Link walked toward her. She looked at him. For a second, I thought I saw something pass across Ridley's face. Just a flicker. But something real. Something that looked almost like genuine emotion. But Ridley shook it off, and as quickly as it came, it was gone.
I think you want to go back to the party, don't you, Shrinky Dink? The band is warming up for the second set. Remember, we're recording this show for your new demo. I'm going to take it around to some of the labels in New York, myself.
She purred, staring intently at him. Link looked uncertain, like maybe he did want to go back to the party, but he wasn't sure.
Dad, listen to me. You don't want to do this. She's controlling you. She can influence people. It's what she does. Mom would never want you to do this.
I watched for some sign that my words were registering, that he was listening, but there was nothing. He just stared into the darkness. You could hear the sound of bayonets clashing and the battle cries of middle-aged men in the distance.
Mitchell, you have nothing to live for anymore. You've lost your wife. You can't write anymore, and Ethan will be going to college in a few years. Why don't you ask him about the shoebox full of college brochures under his bed? You'll be all alone.
Shut up!
Ridley turned to face me, unwrapping a cherry lollipop.
I'm sorry about this, Shortstraw. I really am. But everyone has a part to play, and this is mine. Your dad is going to have a little accident tonight. Just like your mom did.
What did you say?
I knew Link was talking, but I couldn't hear his voice. I couldn't hear anything but what she had just said, replaying over and over in my head. Just like your mom did.
Did you kill my mother?
I started advancing. I didn't care what kind of powers she had. If she killed my mother...
Settle down, big boy. It wasn't me. That was a little before my time.
Ethan, what the hell's going on?
Link was beside me.
She's not what she seems, man. She's...
I didn't know how to explain it so Link would understand.
She's a siren. It's like a witch. And she's been controlling you just like she's controlling my dad right now.
Link started to laugh.
A witch? You're losing it, man.
I didn't take my eyes off Ridley. She smiled and ran her fingers through Link's hair.
Come on, baby. You know you love a bad girl.
I had no idea what she was capable of, but after her little demonstration at Ravenwood, I knew she could kill any one of us. I should never have treated her like she was just some harmless party girl. I was in over my head. I was only just beginning to realize how far. Link looked from her to me. He didn't know what to believe.
I'm not kidding, Link. I should have told you sooner, but I swear I'm telling the truth. Why else would she be trying to kill my father?
Link started to pace. He didn't believe me. He probably thought I was going crazy. It sounded crazy to me, even as I was saying it.
Ridley, is that true? Have you been using some kind of power on me this whole time?
If you want to split hairs.
My dad let go of the railing with one hand. He extended his arm like he was trying to balance on a tightrope.
Dad, don't do it!
Rid, don't do this!
Link was walking toward her, slowly. I could hear the chain from his wallet jingling.
Didn't you hear what your friend said? I'm a witch, a bad one.
She took off her shades, revealing those golden, feline eyes. I could hear Link's breath catch in his throat, as if he was really seeing her for the first time. But only for a second.
Maybe you are, but you aren't all bad. I know that. We've spent time together. We've shared things.
That was part of the plan, Hot Rod. I needed an in so I could stay close to Lena.
Link's face dropped. Whatever Ridley had done to him, whatever she had cast, his feelings for her were bigger than that.
So it was all crap? I don't believe you.
Believe what you want. It's the truth. As close to the truth as I'm capable of, anyway.
I watched my dad shift his weight, his free arm still stretched outward, swaying up and down. It seemed like he was trying to test his wings, to see if he could fly. A few feet away, an artillery shell hit the ground outside, and a spray of dirt burst into the air.
What about everything you told me about you and Lena growing up together? How you two were like sisters? Why would you want to hurt her?
Something passed across her face. I wasn't sure, but it almost looked like regret. Was that possible?
It's not up to me. I'm not the one calling the shots. Like I said, this is my job. Get Ethan away from Lena. I've got nothing against this old guy, but his mind is weak. You know, one biscuit short of a picnic.
She licked her lollipop.
He was just an easy target.
Get Ethan away from Lena. This whole thing was a diversion to separate us. I could hear Aurelia's voice as clearly as if she was still kneeling over me.
It's not the house that protects her. No caster can come between them.
How could I have been so stupid? It wasn't a question of whether or not I had some kind of power. It was never about me. It was about us. The power was what was between us, what had always been between us. Finding each other on Route 9 in the rain, turning the same way at the fork in the road. It didn't take a binding cast to keep us together. Now that they had managed to separate us, I was powerless. And Lena was alone on the night she needed me with her the most. I couldn't think clearly. I was out of time, and I wasn't going to lose one more person I loved. I ran toward my dad, and even though it was just a few feet, it felt like I was running through quicksand. I saw Ridley step forward, her hair twisting in the wind like Medusa's whole head of snakes. I saw Link step forward and grab her shoulder.
Rid, don't do it!
For a split second, I had no idea what was going to happen. I saw everything in slow motion. My dad turned to look back at me. I saw him start to let go of the railing. I saw Ridley's pink and blonde strands twisting. And I saw Link standing in front of her, staring into those golden eyes, whispering something I couldn't hear. She looked at Link, and without another word, her lollipop went sailing over the railing. I watched it arc down to the ground below, exploding like shrapnel. It was over. As quickly as my father had turned away from the railing, he turned back toward it, toward me. I grabbed his shoulders and pulled him forward over the railing and onto the balcony floor. He fell in a crumpled heap and lay there looking up at me like a frightened child.
Thank you, Ridley. I mean, whatever that was. Thanks.
I don't want your thanks, she sneered, pulling away from Link and adjusting the strap of her top. I didn't do either of you a favor. I just didn't feel like killing him. Today. She tried to sound menacing, but she ended up just sounding childish. She twirled a pink strand of hair. Though that's not gonna make some people too happy. She didn't have to say who, but I could see the fear in her eyes. For a second, I could see how much of her persona was just an act, smoke and mirrors. Despite everything, even now, as I tried to pull my father to his feet, I felt sort of sorry for her. Ridley could have any guy on the planet, and yet all I could see was how alone she was. She wasn't nearly as strong as Lena was, not inside. Lena.
Lena, are you okay?
I'm fine. What's wrong? I looked at my father. He couldn't keep his eyes open, and he was having trouble standing.
Nothing. Are you with Larkin?
Yes, we're headed back to Ravenwood. Is your dad okay?
He's fine. I'll explain when I get there.
I slid my arm under my dad's shoulder while Link grabbed his other side.
Stay with Larkin and get back inside with your family. You're not safe alone.
Before we could even take a step, Ridley sauntered by us back through the open balcony doors. Those 10-mile legs stepping across the threshold.
Sorry, boys, I got a jet.
Maybe head back to New York for a while, lay low. It's cool.
She shrugged. Even though she was a monster, Link couldn't help but watch her go.
Hey, Rid?
She stopped and turned to look at him, almost ruefully. Like she couldn't help what she was any more than a shark could help being a shark. But if she could...
Yeah, Shrinky Dink?
You're not all bad.
She looked right at him and almost smiled.
You know what they say. Maybe I'm just drawn that way.
February 11th. Family reunion. Once my dad was safely in the hands of the reenactment medics, I couldn't get back to the party fast enough. I pushed past the girls from Jackson who had ditched jackets and were looking skanky in their tank tops and baby tees, gyrating to the music of the Holy Rollers, minus Link, who, to his credit, was right on my heels. It was loud, live band loud, live ammo loud, so loud that I almost didn't hear Larkin's voice calling me.
Ethan! Over here!
Larkin was standing in the trees just past the reflective yellow rope that separated the safe zone from the you-could-get-your-butt-shot-off-if-you-cross-this-line zone. What was he doing in the woods past the safe zone? Why wasn't he back at the house? I waved to him, and he motioned me over, disappearing behind the rise. Usually jumping that rope would have been a tough choice, but not today. I had no choice but to follow him. Link was right behind me, stumbling, but still somehow keeping up with me, just the way it used to be.
Hey, Ethan?
Yeah?
About Rid? I should have listened.
It's okay, man. You couldn't help it. I should have told you everything.
Don't sweat it. I wouldn't have believed you.
The sound of gunfire echoed over our heads. We both ducked instinctively.
Hope those are blanks. Link said nervously. Wouldn't it be crazy if my own dad shot me out here? With my luck lately, it wouldn't surprise me if he shot us both.
We reached the top of the rise. I could see the thicket of brush, the oaks, and the smoke of the artillery field beyond us.
We're over here,
Larkin called from the other side of the thicket. By the we, I could only assume he meant him and Lena, so I ran faster. Like Lena's life depended on it, because for all I knew, maybe it did. Then I realized where we were. There was the archway to the garden at Greenbrier. Larkin and Lena were standing in the clearing just beyond the garden, in the same place where we had dug up Genevieve's grave a few weeks ago. A few feet behind them, a figure stepped out of the shadows and into the moonlight. It was dark, but the full moon was right over us. I blinked. It was...
Mom? What the heck are you doing out here?
Link was confused. Because his mom was standing in front of us, Mrs. Lincoln, my worst nightmare, or at least in my top 10. She looked strangely in or out of place, depending on how you looked at it. She was wearing ridiculous volumes of petticoats and the stupid calico dress that cinched her waist way too tightly. And she was standing right at Genevieve's grave.
Now, now, you know how I feel about profanity, young man.
Link rubbed his head. This made no sense at all, not to him and not to me.
Lena, what's happening? Lena?
There was no response. Something was wrong.
Mrs. Lincoln, are you okay?
Delightful, Ethan. Isn't it a wonderful battle? And Lena's birthday, too, she tells me. We've been waiting for you, at least one of you.
Link stepped closer.
Well, I'm here now, Mom. I'll take you home. You shouldn't be out past the safe zone. You're gonna get your head blown off. You know what a bad shot Dad is.
I grabbed Link's arm, holding him back. There was something wrong, something about the way she was smiling at us, something about the panicked look on Lena's face.
What's going on? Lena!
Why wasn't she answering me? I watched as Lena pulled my mom's ring out of her sweatshirt and grabbed it by the chain in her hand. I could see her lips move in the darkness. I could barely hear something, only a whisper, in the far corner of my mind.
Ethan, get out of here. Get Uncle Macon. Run.
But I couldn't move. I couldn't leave her.
Link, angel, you are such a thoughtful boy.
Link? It wasn't Mrs. Lincoln standing in front of us. It couldn't be. Mrs. Lincoln would no more call Wesley Jefferson Lincoln Link than she would streak through the streets naked.
Why you would use that ridiculous nickname when you have such a dignified name, I cannot imagine.
She'd say every time one of us accidentally called her house and asked for Link. Link felt my hand on his arm and stopped. It was starting to register with him, too. I could see it on his face.
Mom? Ethan, get out of here! Larkin, Link, somebody go get Uncle Macon!
Lena was screaming. She couldn't stop. She looked more frightened than I'd ever seen her. I ran toward her. I could hear the sound of a shell being released from a cannon, then a sudden flurry of gunfire. My back slammed into something hard. I felt my head crack, and everything sort of went out of focus for a second.
Ethan!
I could hear Lena's voice, but I couldn't move. I'd been shot, I was sure of it. I fought to stay conscious. After a few seconds, my eyes came back into focus. I was on the ground, my back against a massive oak. The gunshot must have thrown me backward into the tree. I felt around to see where I'd been hit, but there was no blood. I couldn't find the bullet's point of entry. Link was a few feet away, propped awkwardly against another tree. He looked just as out of it as I felt. I got to my feet, stumbling forward toward Lena, but my face slammed right into something, and I ended up back on the ground. It felt just like the time I had walked into a sliding glass door at the sister's house. I hadn't been shot. This was something else. I'd been hit by a different kind of weapon.
Ethan!
Lena was screaming. I got up again and stepped forward slowly. There was a sliding glass door there, all right, except this one was some kind of invisible wall encircling the tree and me. I banged on it, and my fist smacked against it, but it didn't make a sound. I slammed my palms against it over and over. What else could I do? That's when I noticed Link banging on his own invisible cage. Mrs. Lincoln smiled at me, with a smile more wicked than anything Ridley could muster on her best day.
"Let them go!"
Lena shrieked. Out of nowhere, the sky opened up and rain literally poured out of the clouds like it was being dumped from a bucket. Lena. Her hair was waving wildly. The rain turned to sleet and fell sideways, attacking Mrs. Lincoln from every direction. In a matter of seconds, we were all soaked to the bone. Mrs. Lincoln, or whoever she was, smiled. There was something about her smile. She looked almost proud.
"I'm not going to hurt them. I just want to give us some time to talk."
Thunder rumbled in the sky over her head.